Book of Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 4 and I'll meet you there. You can either use a Bible that you brought, a gadget that you brought, or maybe a Bible that's in the seats in front of you underneath the baskets throughout the worship center. There are some Bibles there. While you're getting there, I just wanted to fill in some of the gaps. I know the Pastor Ted was mentioning it's a busy weekend here at Oakwood. Friday night with a game night with Oh Yeah! Saturday morning with the men at the Bacon and Bible and the reverse barn raising, but tucked in between that. Can you believe it? In between, we actually have our middle school all-nighter. And so this is going to be a busy place. They're going to be staying here on Friday night. And so it's going to be a busy place this weekend. And we encourage you to participate where you can. Just a reminder for OSM, we do not meet tonight. It's Mother's Day. And so enjoy time with your families. All right, so let's give you some updates here. First of all, I got a picture yesterday. I thought I'd show it. These are the wonderful people that served at People Feeding People yesterday. Give them a hand. I like that little shot. Cute little shot there. This was a volunteer weekend. We usually have small groups sign up to serve throughout the year, and then a couple of them are just sign up if you want to serve. And so this one looks like a little bit less people, but the volunteers nonetheless, and they got the job done. And then a quick update. I shared with you my horrible mistake of running over my wife's burning bush with my mower. I thought I'd show you a picture. So these are the beautiful ones here, and then that's the one. Can you understand why I thought, oops, I don't think it's going to make it? Yeah, it's gone. It was cut right down to the... So after the message, I love Oakwood. I love Oakwood, because when I get myself in trouble, people from Oakwood are like, we need to fix him. We need help. And so the Cronenbergs, they gave us a new burning bush. They let me pick out a couple and went over there and got it, and we played. Now, no, it basically, look, if you go back and forth, it looks like the same tree, right? But it's got leaves on it. So thankful for that. Hopefully that'll grow and match the others. But thank you, Cronenbergs, for bailing me out. I make constant mistakes. But good news, we're going to be back together there. That's going to be, what was the word we used? Not redeemed, it was restored? Restored. That was the message last week. Let's pray this week as we get to talk about chapter 4 of Acts. God's Spirit shakes the floor. Chapter 4, God's Spirit shakes the floor. However, I'm going to kind of lie, we're not going to get there today. We're only going to get through verse 22. I keep looking at it and I'm like, why do we keep trying to take more than we can do? And besides, I know that my family is leaving right after the second service to get to Grand Rapids. We get to spend Mother's Day with a little baby there on the west side. And my wife says, I hope the pastor doesn't talk too long. So I needed to shorten that down. So God's Spirit shakes the floor. We'll really get to that next Sunday. Today is what's in a name. That's the theme today. What's in a name? And we're going to hear a lot about what we sang about. Did you notice a theme in the music this week? Picked carefully. Actually, I called Aaliyah and I'm like, hey, there's Acts 4:12 is a key verse. And I really want to emphasize that. And so I'm thankful that she actually changed the set a little bit to fit in all those songs about our cornerstone. Everybody say cornerstone. Cornerstone. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Would you pray with me? Would you say this prayer? You don't have to say anything out loud, just silently in your heart. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. And God, I pray that you would be glorified. I pray that everyone hearing this message would be edified, and I pray that Satan would be horrified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 4. I'm going to read it again, the whole context. It's not as long as some of them have been, but don't lose me. Stick with me, all right? Let's read it. Acts 4. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. Do we remember? Look up here for a second. Eyeballs here. Last week we ended with the miracle. Remember the miracle for all to see? That's chapter 3, a miracle for all to see. And there was a healing of a lame man. And then because of that, people came running. Remember we talked about that? In front of the beautiful gate is where the lame man was laid. But then they moved to Solomon's colonnade. Important information for today's message. And we're going to talk about the message that they preached, right? They preached a message to the people that showed up, and this is right afterwards. They just preached the gospel, and now That's where we're at. Right in front of Solomon's colonnade. And the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others from the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in the eyes, God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. May God add a blessing to the reading of Scripture. What's in a name? This whole section is very important for us today. Some of you actually might leave today frustrated, a little angry at me, because we're going to focus in on this one singular name. And Acts 4:12 is a key verse in all of Acts. "For there is no other name under heaven given to man by which men can be saved." No other name. So what's in a name? Everything. Let's walk through it verse by verse today. If you're taking notes, I'm just going to say that it was a masterpiece of getting all these letters starting with the same letter. So I mean all these words. I'm just going to say, we worked really hard. Thank you, Margaret, helped me. Thank you, Thesaurus Online. Arrested in the temple, we start with some characters. What characters do we see? We see Peter and John, apostles. We know that. We know that last week they were coming through the gate beautiful to go to the temple for 3 o'clock prayers, the time of sacrifice, the time that Jesus was crucified. And there they heal the beggar in front of the beautiful gate. So now in this verse, or chapter 4 of Acts, we've got Peter and John, we've got priests, all sorts of priests, the whole family of priests. And by the way, the list that's given to us a little later on, you find out the current high priest is there, but the former high priest is also there. And they were there when Jesus was crucified. This is just years later. They were there when Jesus was crucified, the high priest and the priestly family. There's also a captain of the temple guard. There's also the Sadducees. And then there's the crowd. These are all the characters we have. And the lame man, I probably should have added him. He's no longer lame. Can't keep calling him lame man. He's now walking and running, and no, I'm not going to jump and click my heels again. You get that once, okay? arrested in the temple. We've got characters. We have a case. There's a case against Peter and John. Here's what we learn from Scripture. Peter and John, the case is all about this. And don't get it wrong. It's not just that they were preaching. It's that they were proclaiming the resurrection of the dead through Jesus. That was the issue. I want to point out that in the colonnade where they went, Solomon's colonnade, you need to understand that where Peter and John were speaking this message was literally footsteps away from the door that the high council met. And the Sadducees are part of this high Jewish ruling council. So they're right in front of the door. And the Sadducees, they're key factors. The Pharisees were there, but you need to know that looking back at Josephus and other people that wrote history, we're not sure, but the makeup of this high ruling council was made up of 65 Sadducees and only 5 Pharisees. Notice there's no Pharisees mentioned here. They might have been there, but the overwhelming group of the ruling council are elders and Sadducees, 65 of them. We do know that there were some Pharisees on this ruling council, whether it's 5 or more. Nicodemus was one. He was a Pharisee that was on this high ruling council. Gamaliel, there's evidence in Scripture about what this kind of thing, but it's right there in front of their door, right at their doorstep. Peter and John are out there proclaiming that Jesus died, rose again, and because of that, sin and death is defeated once for all, and we will be resurrected someday. Why is this such a big deal? The Sadducees, the 65 on the ruling council, they do not believe in resurrection. This is the biggest thing that they have against Peter and John. They're preaching resurrection. Why is this? Well, if we're going to be raised again, and part of God's kingdom, there's no guarantee the Sadducees get to control everything. They don't even want to think about a resurrection where they're not in charge. And so they're angry, they're upset, they don't like them preaching about resurrection, but they definitely don't like them preaching in the name of Jesus. And they're proclaiming a resurrection of the dead through Jesus. And the Sadducees do not believe in resurrection. You guys remember, I tell you this all the time, Pharisees and Sadducees. Pharisees liked to dress up. Pharisees had gold breastplates, and they looked really, really spiritual. Not going to lie, non-denominational is pretty boring. I don't get a robe. I don't get a collar. I get none of the cool stuff. I go into the Christian bookstores, and I'm like, man, they get cool stuff. They got outfits, man. I got no outfit. But the Pharisees were big into that. So the Pharisees were fair to see you see. That's how you remember. Pharisees are fair to see you see. They dressed up fancy. Sadducees like to put on sackcloth and ash and wipe stuff on their face and wallow, and they were just a miserable bunch. They didn't believe in eternal life. They didn't believe in salvation. So the Sadducees were sad to see you see. Are you with me? Yep. Pharisees are fair to see you see. Sadducees are sad to see you see. That's how you know the two. But the Bible specifically brings up the Sadducees were there questioning. And they don't like them talking about resurrection, especially in Jesus' name. So they put Peter and John in jail due to the late hour. Just chucked them in jail. Tuck them in overnight because we can't have a court case. It's too late according to the Jewish law. Put them in jail. We'll deal with it tomorrow. You with me? So we're still talking about the arrest in the temple. We've got three things so far. We've got the characters. We've got the case. And now we've got the consequence. So what are the consequences for the actions of these Sadducees questioning and harassing Peter and John? Well, the Bible tells us the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. That doesn't include women and children. We know from the feeding of the 5,000, there was probably 10,000 or more actually there. So we believe that there could be over 10,000 believers since the beginning of the church, 3,000 in one day, and now it keeps growing. Remember what I taught you last week? People run to authentic God experiences. When people see God actually moving, they're drawn to that. So there's consequences. They're positive, though. And so now we move to the trial of Peter and John. Number one, we'll start in verse 5 through 7. There's a reaction. So here's the interrogators. You've got the message preached by Peter and John. Now you've got the interrogators. The list is there. Rulers, elders, teachers of the law, current and former high priests. These are some heavy hitters. In the religious system, the important decision makers are there. The temple guard was there. Keeping the temple guard's job was to not let uprisings happen. Push them down. And the temple guard is who arrested Peter and John, threw them in jail overnight. So we've got the interrogators, and we've got the question. Everybody say question. Here's the question that the whole reaction is based on. By what power or what name did you do this? It's a good question. I know in the 1822 is our college age, 18 to 22-year-old, called 1822. We've been studying the book of John. And as we study through the book of John, every time Jesus does a miracle, the Sadducees and Pharisees, they come and they're upset. They're upset. We just studied not too long ago about the blind man, blind since birth. People are asking, whose sin? The blind man or his mom and dad? Jesus is like, no, we're not talking. It's not because somebody sinned. And then Jesus heals him. Guess how he heals him? We love this. He could have spoke. He could have said, be healed. He could have waved his hand. He could have touched the man. These are ways that Jesus healed people throughout Scripture. He had a lot of options. Instead, he chose, this is awesome, to spit in the dirt and make mud. Thankfully, the guy couldn't see what was coming. He probably heard the sound effects, you know. Hey, I'm going to help you. And then the mud pie. And do you know what the big issue was for the religious leaders? Jesus made mud. He was working. I find it interesting. I think Jesus did things specifically and for a reason. Instead of just saying, see. Or he could have just left and 10 minutes down the road said, see. He didn't have to be there. Instead, he made mud. And the religious people are like, you made mud? That's work. You can't work on the Sabbath. How dare you? Jesus is like, guy, blind since birth, can see now. Let's talk about that. And the power that does that. Instead, shame on you. You made mud. Silly, huh? Here we have Peter and John, and they're given the question. And you've heard two messages so far that they've preached. They always come back and talk about who? Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. They keep coming back and saying this is all because of Jesus. So the question is out there. Now we've got the response part one. Response part one was guided by the Holy Spirit. Remember Acts 1:8? And you will receive, not with me this morning, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What was that dynamo's power when the Holy Spirit supposed to be for? Showing off and doing tricks? No. You will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my... You know you're going to have a pop quiz today. Teacher Don's back, and I'm like, class, you will be my witnesses. We were promised Holy Spirit power to share the gospel. And so now Peter and John are standing in front of a lot of people with power, and they're questioning them. And you know what they do? They just boldly speak. Because they remember, let me read it for you. Mark 13:9-11. Jesus says, you must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in their synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings and witness to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, can't you see where Peter and John are remembering these words? They just got arrested, right? They got a rap sheet now. They could be real upset. I can't believe this is happening to me. Oh, Jesus, I'm trying to help here, and now I'm in jail. No, they remember Mark 13. When you're arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. And what do we have here in Acts 4? They're put on trial, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them in a mighty way. and they have boldness. They're guided by the Holy Spirit, and they give an answer. What name? By the name of Jesus Christ. Are you okay with that? Do you know that Peter and John didn't get politically correct? By the name of Jesus Christ, or Hare Krishna, or Muhammad, or whoever you want to think about, it's all the same thing. No, it's not. And Peter and John weren't confused. And today in our culture, sadly, even Christians have a hard time accepting this message, and it's so clear in Acts chapter 4, there is no other name. And if people are worshiping another name, it is not the name of Jesus. It's Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. Solo Christos. Solo Christos. I'm not going to get into it, but there's a lot of denominations that have softened their stance. Even a leader, a well-known leader of a mainline denomination, came out and said, it doesn't matter who you worship, Muhammad, whatever, you know, it's all good, it's all God. No. I really thought about this moment. How do you emphasize this? Let me just say, no. There is no other name. And as Christians, you need to be firm about that. I know we live in a day and age where everybody says, well, be inclusive. Jesus is going to be, everybody be inclusive. Love everybody. Let me tell you, it's not loving to lie. It's not loving to give wrong information. Think about that. There's a commercial on TV where a lady's in for shoulder surgery. She's sitting on that thing and the doctor walks in, calls her by the wrong name, you know, and she's like concerned. And he walks in and goes, so we're operating on your leg. No, my shoulder. Ah, it's all connected. That's what he says. The doctor says, ah, it's all connected. What? You know what I like when they do, when they come in and you're about ready to have surgery, they take a permanent marker, they write on the thing they're going to do. They write right on there, like X marks the spot. This one. Worst thing is to be put under when you're having shoulder surgery and wake up with a new knee. I mean, that's... Listen... It's all connected. I know you needed shoulder surgery. We gave you a new knee. What's the difference? What? All surgeries lead to peace. No. No. I find it very interesting that our culture wants inclusivity and wants openness and all roads lead to heaven, when actuality is Jesus was very narrow. The Bible is very narrow. And the Bible says there is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved but Jesus. Not all roads lead to heaven. Not all planes go to Dallas. I've told you this before. If you go to the airport and you're going to Dallas, you can't just get on any plane and say all planes go to Dallas. No, you need to go to the right gate at the right time, get on the right plane that goes to Dallas. Why? Because the world operates with distinction, accuracy. That's how it actually operates. I don't like doing this because Gary's in the room, but I love my illustration about a brain surgeon. Sorry, Gary. When you're meeting with a brain surgeon and you've got something that they need to take out, you don't want them walking in and say, hey, listen, we've been real busy, so we're just going to open up your head and take a scoop and we're going to start grabbing stuff. No! No, excuse me, I want you to be very exclusive, brain surgeon. When you open this up, I want you to know exactly, and you better be specific. We'll scoop stuff. We'll eventually get it. No! All planes don't go to Dallas. Scooping out whatever is not what you want. The whole world operates on truth. Absolute truth. What's absolute truth? What's true for all people at all times and all locations? So let me tell you about what absolute truth is in this passage. There is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. It's important. And then I love what Peter and John do. They just preached this message. Let's just do it one more time. He just finished giving this message. By the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, and by the way, literally the high priests that were there are standing there. So they're pointing at him. They were just preaching outside the door, and they heard the ruckus. They all come out. They hear them preaching about the resurrection and Jesus Christ. They ask him, what name? Jesus Christ. Remember? The one whom you killed, but God raised from the dead. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. Why is that important? Words are important. This Jewish ruling council made up of 65 Sadducees and 5 Pharisees and some elders. They were known as the builders of Jerusalem. They were the builders of their religious system. So Peter and John are saying, hey, you builders, you're supposed to be building something here, but you rejected the stone that was the most important. You rejected the cornerstone. Everybody say cornerstone. Now, I am not a builder, and I've definitely not built on a stone foundation, but this is pretty important. Jesus is the cornerstone. You start there. When you lay a foundation, we've got a building project coming, and we're building that pavilion out there, and I'm so excited about it. But the day that they mark out that pavilion, you better believe I'm going to be there, because I'm very picky about orientation. I mean, we've got a parking lot. That thing ought to be straight with that parking lot. Don't put it on a cockamamie thing. Don't be doing that. I want to see that it's square and to the parking lot, to the building. It's very important. Anybody else picky like me with things? You got to have things in the right place, right size, and all those things. I called the person, the architect that was drawing this, because originally on the architect, it was like 3 feet over. So the parking lot came and it was three, and I'm like, no, square it up. Move that building. Get it square. In the building that they're talking about, Jesus is that cornerstone, the first block we put down. It's going to determine where we're going here, where we're going here. Everything's going to be built on this cornerstone. So if you notice, I'm barely moving today because my wife put me into terrible labor yesterday, all day. Some of y'all had a great day. I was laboring. 6 yards of dirt came to the Jackson's house, and I'm moving it by wheelbarrow, and I'm building a flower bed. We've been here 10 years. There's a spot off to the right of our driveway that's just never been right. And so we decided we're fixing it. Julie, let's do it. And then we've been out there, and we built a foundation for the flower bed. It had to be raised. So all that dirt, I'm raised. And then when it finally got the dirt where it was and level, and I'm squishing it all down, you know, and I'm asking Julie, does it look good? I think so. Maybe a little bit more over here. Okay. And then we started putting in the rocks to lay out this flower bed and a firm foundation. Wanted to build a firm foundation. We didn't have enough rocks. I ended up at Bedrock yesterday, and they're like, you just go pick the rocks. Oh, we can pick our rocks? Took my truck and I backed it up, and there's a million rocks. I'm not exaggerating. There's probably a million rocks, all about this big. And there's a pile 20 feet high. There's a sign that says, don't climb on the rock pile. Nuts to that. Because I see a pretty red one. See that red one? Julie's like, yeah, I want that. Oh, I'm scurrying up the rocks. Those rocks were not a cornerstone. And now I know why there's a sign that says don't climb on the rocks, because as I reached for the red rock, they all started to fall. An avalanche toward my truck. So I'm trying to stop it. Let me just tell you, when rocks are tumbling, don't put your hand in there. My thumb is smashed. My thumb got smashed yesterday. It had to still work. She didn't let me off the hook. I'm hoping that this bed works out. Some of you have already in your mind determined I did it wrong. Thank you. I love you people. Everybody is always judging, and they're going to come and tell. I'm going to get 5 answers today. You did it wrong. As soon as the rain comes, it's going to wash away. Your rocks are all going to fall. I don't care. I did my best. And I'm trying to get a solid foundation, a bed that'll stay there. And we're filling it in, and she's got to do all the plants. What Peter and John were saying is, you builders started building stuff, and you didn't include Jesus. The whole religious system is all about your rules and regulations, but it's not about Jesus. And Peter and John are saying, don't make any mistake, there is no other name. Everybody say no.
No.
Which reminds me of a song. Sorry. Again, I grew up in a great Christian home. Hi, Mom. Mom watches every week. Happy Mother's Day. I already talked to her on the phone this morning. I grew up in a home that would sing songs like this all the time. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms, maybe I said it again, Russia and China, America and all the other people that make a mess of things. We're living in Babylon today. But there's something about that name. Do you believe that's true?
Yes.
Would you sing just those three first words? Sing it with me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, friends, when you witness, don't be afraid to proclaim the name. And memorize Acts 4:12. For there is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. Oh, that's response number one. Now here's the ruling. What are we going to do with these guys? They realized Peter and John were ordinary and unschooled. They could have just said, we can beat them. Because they're not very smart. They haven't had an education. None of them are coming out of seminary with a degree. But they realized something else. They recognized the influence of being with Jesus. These might have been ordinary men, unschooled men, but they'd spent time with Jesus. And it showed. Can I ask you today, do people know when you've spent time with Jesus? Are you spending time at the foot of the Savior? And can people tell that there's something different about you? Are people asking? The Bible says, be prepared, always be prepared to give an answer for those who ask about the hope you have. How are they going to ask if they don't see the hope? Can people tell you've been with Jesus? Remember Moses and Aaron used to go meet with God in the tent of meetings, and the Bible said that after meeting with God, Moses would leave the tent and his face would glow. And I'm talking about, this is physical, this was an actual tangible physical glowing, and it freaked the people out. The people were scared. Moses would go meet with God, come out and just beam, literal presence. Scared the people so much that Moses then had to take a veil into the tent of meeting so after he met with God, he could put a veil over his face and walk away until it washed away so the people wouldn't be afraid. People realize when people are with God. People notice when you're with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. You say, I want to be a good witness. I want to be able to share the gospel. It never is happening. Get with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. People will see, they'll recognize something different. What else do we see? They resented. They got a problem. This ruling council has got an actual guy who's been lame for 40 years and now he's standing there walking around doing gymnastics. That's a problem. They resented the testimony of a changed man because there's nothing you can do when everybody knows something happened. Something changed. And here they are giving the answer to how it happened. It's Jesus, and the resurrection of dead is possible through him. They realized, they recognized, they resented, and they required. Here's the requirement. Hey, guys, stop talking about Jesus. Not going to happen. Stop talking about Jesus. That's the ruling. So here's response number two. We've got response number two from Peter and John. What do they say? Here's their rationale. Listen, we're going to be listening to God and not you. Who should we obey? You guys? Or should we listen to God? And then they throw a little jab You be the judges. They were judges. That was the problem. They were religious, judgy, had their own system, wouldn't see truth. So they're judging. Their rationale was, we're going to listen to God, not to man. And they were resolved. We will speak about Jesus. I don't think you have to be ugly about it. I don't think you have to be rude about it. But Peter and John were honest about it. We're going to speak about Jesus. That's all we can do. We can do no other. Here I stand, and it's what I know. And I'll talk about Jesus. And what was the result? They walked away. Don't you love it? Did you see this whole passage? They got in trouble. Really? What was the result? Nothing. They're going to be preaching again. It's not going to be too long before we're going to be reading in Acts that they're preaching and they're under attack once again because they're preaching about the name of Jesus. So what did you see today? Let's wrap it up with these things. When you look at a passage like this, well, I just gave you what was happening in the passage. Now let's say, what could we see from this? Number one, a supernatural witness. Do you see the supernatural witness here in Acts 4? The Holy Spirit came upon Peter and John. Even though they were unschooled, they just started sharing. Now, that's not how I preach. I spend a lot of time preparing. But we're talking about when people drag you in front of a court and you've got to give an answer. You know, one of the scariest things, a traveling speaker with teens, I love to have at least one session where I just say, open questions. You can ask me anything. You know what the favorite time is for students when they come to hear me speak? PD's question and answer time, because they can throw out anything. And believe me, I'm a little nervous before. I don't ever get nervous when I speak, but man, am I praying. Because I'm like, Lord, I don't know what they're going to ask. So I got to be ready. God, help me out. And there's been times when we've had these, and kids are great. Students are great. They'll point blank ask you the hard stuff. Adults are like, I'm not going to ask this because I don't know the answer and he's going to mess up, so I don't. Teens would be like, hey, you, what do you think? Oh, and you got to give them a right answer. There's been so many times when I go back to my room and Julie's like, I didn't know you knew all that. That was pretty good. You actually answered those questions with care and love, but with honesty and wow. And you know what I say? I can't take credit for that because it wasn't like I prepared for it. I just prayed for it. God, help me. Give me the right answer. Help me to know what the thing is that I need to say. Help me to be clear. I don't know if that's what Peter and John were praying ahead of this time frame, but the Spirit showed up and they spoke. And they spoke the name of Jesus. I see a supernatural witness. I see a saving name. Acts 4:12. Have you learned it yet? Because I've quoted it five times. There is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. Jesus. I see a saving name. I see a significant fact. In Acts 4:13, we see when they saw the courage of Peter and John and they realized that they were unschooled ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that they had been with Jesus. Significant fact. If you want to be a good witness, spend time with Jesus. The more you're with Jesus, the easier it is to talk about Jesus. I also see a strong compulsion. In Acts 4, verse 20, as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Peter and John, we're going to preach the name of Jesus. You can threaten, you can do what you want. Later on, you can actually put us in chains, you can actually flog us, but we're going to speak the name of Jesus. And number five, I see a spectacular protection. I love that they walked out. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me declares the Lord. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I see a spectacular protection. I experienced this protection in Philadelphia, in Chicago, in Berlin, Germany, and in Mexico City. I've seen God's hand of protection upon His servant. I've seen opportunity to preach. Back to the strong compulsion. Do you have a strong driving compulsion to speak the name of Jesus? I'm not making this up. As God is my witness, as I was writing that this week, and I get to that point, I'm trying to get the S's all lined up, right? And so I get to strong compulsion about sharing the name of Jesus, and the phone rings. It's a local pastor. He said, "Don, next weekend we have a youth outreach and we need somebody to share the gospel for 15 to 20 minutes. Our speaker just backed out. Will you come and speak the gospel?" And I'm sitting there looking at my screen saying, a strong compulsion. And honestly, I'm busy. There's a million reasons why I don't want to be tied up next Saturday. It's going to be an early day. Actually, it's going to be a late night. I'm driving the bus for the teens, right? Their all-nighter thing. I'm driving the bus on Friday night. Saturday morning, I'm with the men, baking a Bible. And then I can just line it all up. And I'm like, I don't want to have to go travel and speak. Takes the rest of my Saturday. But you know what I did? I said, absolutely. Count me in. Count me in. Let me ask my wife first. It's always good. Called my wife, honey, these people need somebody to come speak the gospel. Am I free from like 3 till 7 on Saturday night next week? She goes, sure, go preach, go do your thing. It's got to be true for me, but it needs to be true for you. When you get an opportunity, do you take an opportunity? When you see a need, do you meet a need? Do we as believers live knowing that we're supernaturally, by the Holy Spirit, given a name that we can preach? When we're with Jesus, it's significant, and a strong compulsion to share, and a spectacular protection in His name. All of these things are true. Team, come on up. I want to sing that song, Cornerstone, one more time. Is He your cornerstone? If He's your cornerstone that you're building your life on, are you sharing that with others? It's a simple witness. Here's who I was. Here's how I met Jesus. Here's who I've become. Are you sharing that wonderful name of Jesus? Let's pray. Father God, we close the service and looking at Acts 4, 1 through 22, we pray that You would move us to be Your witnesses. God, equip us. Help us to be prepared to give an answer, but that trust the Holy Spirit will help us. Help us not to be afraid to speak the name of Jesus. Help us not to be ashamed of the exclusivity of the gospel. There is no other name. Hare Krishna doesn't get you to heaven. Muhammad won't get you to heaven. There's only one name. And we proclaim the name of Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Stand with us and let's sing about that cornerstone.